Join me. Welcome my newest friend, Todd Pierce. Todd, God bless you. We're sure glad you're here. Welcome, my brother.
Well, I'm always amazed when someone will trust me with their family, such as this man has. It's doubly amazing to me when they let me come back. Really, this morning, I think one of the greatest things about being in a church where you guys are receiving precept upon precept, the teaching from the Word of God, and you're established in what God's Word says, that it kind of gives me a bit of a freedom to just to really share what's going on in my heart, what's going on in my life, and just speak from the heart, so to speak. And it works pretty good for me because I don't know how to take notes and speak off of notes, so it makes it where I can just go ahead and share what's going on in my life. But I want to honor somebody this morning first, just because one of the greatest cowboys that ever came out of the state of Oklahoma was a man by the name of Lane Frost. If you ever watched the movie 8 Seconds, it was a story about a bull rider that became a world champion and ended up losing his life in the arena. And now, although that was the end of his natural life, it was the beginning of a great story to be told, that his mom and dad, Clyde and Elsie Frost, continued to travel around the country and share the rest of the story of what it is that, when we say that, what else could we need more than Jesus? You know, that's more than a song to a lot of us in this room. Because without Jesus, really just nothing ever even makes any sense. And the things that come along just destroy our lives or make us bitter or scared or something like that. But there's just this miraculous thing that happens with this risen king that happened 2,000 years ago, that his spirit's still making lives into something beautiful, even though they've been through destruction. So Clyde and Elsie are sitting up here on the front row with me. So if you could just honor them for... I've been through some stuff, but I've never lost my son, and go through that sort of stuff and have it do nothing but bring out more gold in him. That is a fulfillment of the promise that God will use all things together to work together for the good of those who love him and have decided that they want to be called according to his purpose, that he is in the midst of that deal. And I stand here today last night being at the box center with a professional bull riding tour, watching these guys, that it's pretty evident they're either really brave or they're really stupid. It really is the latter. Because I see the other areas of their life, they're not brave. They're a bunch of sissies just like me. But we find things that we're good at and we go for them, and that begins to be what people celebrate us for. And there's a real trap in that sometimes we can find our identity in what it is that we're good at and what other people will applaud us for. And I don't know if anybody else here can relate with that, but I tend to do that. I want people to like me. I want people's approval. I want to be successful. And that's not all a bad thing. It's just, it's a dangerous thing if it's misplaced. And, you know, in the bull riding world, it's dangerous enough that guys have got a sense of, it's almost like being in a foxhole. You know, there's a sense this thing could go bad really quickly, you know. So they become men of faith, you know, literally turn on a dime. But it's kind of the faith that's like, I'm just hoping for something. But once you get past that season, it's quickly forgotten. And so I believe this morning to me is for me, and I hope it will be for you. I can't imagine ever getting together with a group of people like this that love God and want to hear his voice, and him not honoring that with wanting to do something miraculous in our lives. And I don't know what a miracle looks like to you, but I'm in a spot in my life right now where I'm really in a place where I could use some miracles. And I won't bore you with any of the stuff going on in my life, but I know that there's other people in here that are the same. And so before I even go too far, I want to have you purposely give God permission to do whatever it is that he needs to do in your life today to work a miracle in you. So if you're in, raise your hand real quick. If you're not, just enjoy sitting there or take a nap. But since you raised your hand, I'm just going to say you asked for it. And when we're in a spot where we're desperate and we need God's provision, we need his view of things, we need his perspective on something, we really, what we're saying is we just need him. We need his presence to be made known to us in the situation that we're in. And one of the things I love to talk about is my sons. I've got a wife and three boys, 20, 16, and 12 now. But all you parents in here know what a miracle it is when you go from having an idea of who God is based on what you've been taught to, for me, this is kind of what the experience looked like. My wife, we got pregnant when I was still rodeoing. So to me, it was a really scary thing because we didn't know how we was going to make ends meet. And if I was real honest, I was scared and maybe even a little bit put out. Like, how could this happen? I mean, I knew how it happened. But, and I wasn't so upset about that part of it. It was what happened. And so, anyway, we're going through this process, and I realize that there's this thing inside of my wife that's growing, and it's changing her, like, in a lot of different ways. And so I'm starting to resent this kid more and more, and he's taking over my wife. He's threatening my, you know, it's just, I'm not a dad yet, right? I'm still looking at this as like, holy crap, what are we going to do? Can I say that? I didn't wear my hat. I speak in arenas to bull riders and fans and stuff, so you'll have to forgive me if I... So anyways, we're having this crisis. This wasn't even on the radar that I was going to talk about, Coach. But something happened. After all of this, we're in a hospital, and out comes this little boy that's done nothing but cost me grief. And now what I get out of a $5,000 medical bill and my wife's body being taken over, and out of this thing, I get this screaming, demanding, pooping thing that can't do anything but demand more from me. But I am instantly a changed person. Like, I'll die, I'll live, I'll go anywhere, I'll give up anything. This is mine, and I want him. And he doesn't even know how much I want him. And I got a glimpse into this mysterious thing of the love of God that has been poured out over me, because I was that for so long in my life. I was nothing but a complaining, whining, sinning, adulterous, drunkard kid that gave my life to Jesus thinking that was going to get me out of hell. That was my motivation in giving my life to Jesus. I got saved from hell, but what I didn't realize had really happened at that point is I had been adopted to having the Father of all creation become my Father. And he gave me a glimpse of how he thinks about me, how he sees me. And that screaming, pooping, little demanding kid has started growing up. And as we went through that process, and I watched him grow and go from the only thing that really mattered to him is what I thought of him. Everything he did was to please me, and And I loved that. It was kind of scary. I don't know if any of you can relate with that, but I walked up and put my foot on a fence, and we were looking at some cows, and put my arms up on the fence and spit. And I looked over there, and here comes little Colton, and he puts his foot up on the fence and puts his arm up on the fence and spits and looks, and he kind of looks up at me like, what's next? And I thought, man, there is some power in this being a daddy thing. There's some responsibility in this being a daddy thing. And mamas, it's the same deal on y'all. But I watched him grow, and he come to me one day. He was maybe 12 or 13 years old, and he said, Dad, am I annoying? And I thought, well, there's probably more going on to this question than I realized, so I had to ask him, you know, a little more questions before I answered, because he was annoying. And so he said, well, Daddy, this boy at school told me I was annoying. Now, he's a super tender-hearted kid, and so he was actually, it wasn't an argument to him. He took it as, oh, really? And I'm thankful that he had the wisdom to come to me and ask me what I thought. And so as soon as I realized the weight of this moment with my son, it was like I couldn't even find the words to undo what that kid had said to him, other than just grab him and say, with all my heart, son, no, you're not. I mean, you do things that are annoying. You know, I ain't gonna, but no, you're not. You're my son, and I see something in you that no one else is gonna be able to see for a while. And I see stuff in you that you're not going to be able to see for a while, and it's beautiful. Don't allow what those people are saying about you to affect you. Well, I did my best as a daddy, you know, to do that. He did get affected by what people said about him. He's my 20-year-old now. But I say all that to say this, I think. You remember a story, some people call it a story about the prodigal son, and I've renamed that story, if that's legal, because really the Bible didn't call it that. We just kind of put a title on it. I call it about the redeemed son. But if all you got out of the story, in case you don't know, I'll just give you the short version. There was a man that had two sons, and one of them wanted to have his inheritance before it was time, and so his daddy gave it to him. He ran off with all of his money, and he lived a really horrible lifestyle. He basically went to Vegas and blew it, and lost it all, found himself in a really hurting spot, and realized that, man, my life is so bad that I'd rather go back and live at my dad's ranch and work for him. I can't even be a son anymore, but work for him, than to live out here doing what I'm doing now. And so the son went home. And the beautiful part of the story is that the father come to the boy and embraced him and didn't restore him as a servant. He restored him as a son. And I know that we get a lot of an idea, because it's a really good thing for those that love people to serve people, right? But if we're not careful, we slip into becoming a servant of God rather than a son of God. And it is different. If you're a servant, it's hard to act like a son. But if you're a son, it's not hard to serve. And so what I want to challenge you with, and what you raised your hand for to get today, was maybe a deeper revelation of the most important foundational truth that exists on the planet, is what Jesus did all that dying for and did the resurrecting for. It wasn't just to make it to where our sins could be dealt with so we could go to heaven. It was so that we could gain back the relationship that God intended us to have from the beginning, and that was to be sons and daughters of Him that are fully connected at such a heart level to when there's a voice in your head or there's someone around you that starts questioning the authenticity of who you are, the strength that's in you, the beauty that's in you, that you have the ability to go straight to the Father and say, Daddy, what do you see in me? Because if I can see what you see in me, then I do become unstoppable. I had a dream last November, and it doesn't really matter so much if you believe that God speaks in dreams anymore, but this particular dream, I've taken it as it was a revelation to me on a certain issue where God spoke to me. And it was about this issue of, if you've ever heard that it's the joy, or basically the joy of the Lord is what gives us strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's an idea that was told to a group of people that were really trying to find their way in a time where they were really sad. And I asked the Lord in my dream what that really meant, and He said, the more you're knowledgeable of my joy over you, if you could sense, if you knew how much joy I have over you, and when I look at you, my affection towards you, you know, even if you are just the whining, crying, pooping little kid, it doesn't matter. Even if you're the demanding teenager that really doesn't even know how to be thankful yet, you're just taking some things for granted. It hasn't changed the Father's stance at all. It hasn't changed His opinion over you at all. He has joy over you because He sees you for what He created you to be. And when you know that, you become unstoppable. Me knowing and feeling even right now God's joy over who I am, not because of anything that I've done, but because of who He said I am, makes it to where I don't have to back down from people. I don't have to back down from things that may be intimidating. And I surely don't have to allow the voices around me or even the voices in my head to determine who it is that I am. I can feel His joy. And in the dream, it was the second part to it. He said that your sons need to feel that same joy over them. And there's some power in this, and this might be double-fold whether you're a parent or not. There's people that God has put in your life to influence. And the greatest influence that we end up having over them is being able to, one, know who it is that God says that we are, and secondly, being able to help them see themselves rightly. Some people call it leading them to the Lord, getting them saved, whatever it is. If they're your project and you're there to fix them, that's probably not the best motivation to go there. But if you can love people and just go cut trees up for them, using that video, right? I don't have an agenda here. I'm here to clean up your yard because you got a mess. What is it that moves people like that? It does get people to question it. They see the love of God. They start identifying with the love of God. They start craving the love of God. It's not something that we have to sell. People are breaking in wanting to steal it from us, right? We have the most valuable thing on the planet inside of us. We don't have to give a sales pitch. This is something that the world should see in the believers, in the life of all of us. This, like, what is it about those people? Like, they're crazy, but I want that kind of crazy. I want that kind of crazy love. That peace that Phil was talking about, his building got hit by a tornado and lost his whole office. And he said, I don't know why I have peace. I know God's in it. I don't know who did it. I don't know why it happened. But I've got the presence of God that makes it to where everything else is okay. Anyway, back to the story with the prodigal. 10:05? There was a second son, and this is what I just want to, I'll close on this. This second son didn't leave and go squander his wealth. He stayed there and worked for his dad. And he was ticked off that dad was throwing a party for his brother that went and spent all their money. And he's been there working the whole time. I want to present this to you, that neither one of those sons really saw the father for who he was. One was acting like a servant, just figured that he was going to continue to be faithful, continue to work, continue to do the right thing. And where's my reward? The father told him, everything is yours, son. This is your place. This is your inheritance. So if you feel that way today, if you're wondering, you know, you've been so faithful, you've done all these things, why are these things going on in my life? Where's the victory? Why is Jesus not enough right now? What's going wrong? I want to say that maybe you're misunderstanding what it means that this is your inheritance. He said, have some joy here, flock. It's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His stuff is our stuff. And we're taking care of our stuff because it's a family thing. It's a kingdom thing. It's a thing that's going to last forever. This room is filled with people that Jesus saw it was worth the price to go get. And so this is our inheritance. And if you're the one that's wanting to run off and get what God has for you without getting him, then you've missed it too. Because whenever I can see in my sons the desire to have my stuff without me with it, not only does it hurt my feelings, but I know it's dangerous for them. Our Father's love for us is so overwhelming, and it is really the only thing that has the power to change us. It's what makes fear go away. It's what makes it to where whatever season you're in life, that this is the best season of your life. That he has taken you from glory to glory to glory. And the best things that he's got for us are still in front of us. It's a mystery, yet it's the truth. I better stop. Mary was in the Virgin Mary. She was in a need for a miracle whenever she was told that she was going to have a son. And in order for us to have the miracles that God has got for us to be able to receive a seed that's going to come in us and produce eternal life, we've got to be just as desperate as Mary was for that. Meaning, this is not something you can do for yourself. The men of faith that you've been hearing about, they didn't have faith that they would accomplish something. They had faith in who God was and who God says they was. That wasn't proper English, was it? That's what their faith was in, because most of them died without ever getting to even receive the promise. So if we're going to call out faith in us, I want to target in on what is the faith that we're going for. Our faith has got to be in the goodness of God, and what he says about us is the most important thing. And if you don't know what he's saying about you, I'm going to ask you, fact is, can you stand with me real quick? I feel like we're in a Catholic service. We're going to stand up and sit down, stand up and sit. I want to do that just enough to get you out of the mode of just staring at me. Put your hands out like this, like you're going to receive something. I know this probably isn't normal, but say, Father. Let's try that one more time. Father, I ask you to show me today what you see in me. Help me to see all the goodness you put in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. That, my friends, is where people ever since the foundation of the earth have had to return to on a regular basis, consistently throughout our days and throughout our life. Because when you see what our Father sees when he looks at you, there is nothing that can stop you. You are this light that is sit on a hill that everybody's going to be drawn to. You are this thing that he said, not even the gates of hell can prevail against this. We are the kingdom of God. We are the will of God. We are the ones that he said that there is going to be a generation of kings, and there's going to be a generation of priests, and they're going to do amazing exploits on the earth. and we're not victims to what it is that you're seeing out on the news. We are the ones that are the sons and the daughters of God that all of creation is groaning to see revealed. The whole world is waiting for us to step into this place of being a son and being a daughter that carries around his spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And we walk into our homes, we walk into our workplaces, we walk into whatever situation we're in with God's perspective on it, which isn't fear, it's not shame, it's not with a heart of regret, there's nothing hidden, and we can do it with full authority. And God gets the glory for that, because this isn't a me thing, this is a we thing. This is all of us, and we're in this together. And I can already say I love you people. You're my family, and I don't even have to meet you to know that. Thank you guys for being so attentive, and thank you, sir, for trusting me with your family.
Okay, no, stay right there 1 second.
Okay.
I want you to be, that's good, yes. Can I give a 60-second summary of your testimony? Mm-hmm. Will you stand here with me? Mm-hmm. Would you all be seated? I've asked permission to, so I want you to be seated a minute. This young man moves my heart, and there's one something I want you to hear, and I've asked to do a brief presentation because I want you to hear it. Todd was like many young men who, when he was young, did lots of things he wishes he hadn't. And along the way, he met a very special young lady who would become his wife. I think she was 15 when y'all got together.
Yeah.
And truthfully, Todd would see her on weekends, but when he went off to school, he saw every other girl he could see and drank more than he should drink and do things he shouldn't do. One day, here's what I want you to hear, because he's done such a great job sharing. Listen, we just were children. We're sons of God. I love that statement you made where it's, if you're a servant, it's hard to act like a son, but if you're a son, you act like a servant. It's easiest to be a servant. I'm going to preach that.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's good. That's really good. Really good. But a man came to him, and I may not get this just right, and all he said to him is, Todd Pierce, God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for you. And initially, that made Todd somewhat, I think, aggravated, yes?
I didn't know what to do with it.
And really didn't have much use for the church or Christian people, right?
No, in fact, I'd been really hurt by churchgoers and religion. So
you were one of the walking wounded.
Mm-hmm.
But when a man said, God loves you, you couldn't get that out of your mind, right?
Nope. Wouldn't go away.
How long was it before that action, that word, made you go back and call him? How long a time?
For 2 weeks, I got as drunk and stoned as I could, trying to forget that thing, because I knew that because I believed it, I didn't want to believe it, because I knew that it was going to require something that I didn't know what it was going to look like.
So you did your best to run, but you couldn't hide.
That's right.
So after 2 weeks, you called him. What'd you say to him?
I said, you ruined my life. I was having a good time, and now my eyes have been opened to the reality that I'm a walking dead man. Like, I'm miserable, and I need to know what it means that God loves me.
And he told you.
He told me.
And what happened?
Well, I did the only thing I knew to do was pray, and I didn't know how to pray, but I said, God, if this is you, you can have my life. And I went home that day, and nothing but beer and pickles in the fridge, so I wasn't really sure where I was going to go from there. And let me tell a little about
that's
the horse.
I want you to.
So I wasn't going to go to church, that's for sure. And so I was, at this time, I was training horses. And the way I train horses is I put them in a round pen, and I give them two options. They can either run or they can deal with me. And I'm an animal lover, so it wasn't ever an option for me to try to beat this horse into trusting me or submitting. So it really was a kind way of dealing with a horse. But now that I had given my life to Jesus, there was things going on inside of me that I couldn't put language to. And And so it actually was a bit more frustrating because I didn't know how to do life now. I didn't know how to have fun. I didn't know what to do socially. I certainly didn't know how I was going to deal with this mess of all this stuff that I'd done to the one person on the planet that I actually did love. And so this horse is running from me, and I started speaking out loud to it. Why are you running? All I want to do is help you, and you are destroying yourself. Like, this horse was way above and beyond, you know, the norm. He had run forever. He was bloody. He had run himself into the panels. I wouldn't even do anything, and he was just wrecking himself. And I started saying out loud, would you just stop for 1 minute and let me show you what I want to do with you? Let me show you how much I love you. Let me show you what I see in you so that you can get out of this mess. Like, you're running from nothing. I'm here. And I don't remember leaving the round pen that day. It was such a spiritual experience for me because it became, this was God speaking to me. And it was an audible voice because it was my voice, but it wasn't me speaking. It became a mystery revealed to me that this is where I'm at in my life. And the next thing for me to do was to go to my wife, who was my girlfriend at that time, and tell her what had happened. One, here's how I've treated you. Here's the things that I've done. But secondly, I've given my life to Jesus, and something's happening on the inside of me, and I don't even know what it is, other than I can't live with a lie anymore, and I can't continue to hurt you anymore, and I'm not going to be the same person I've been, and I can't even help it now. Like, I can't stop this. There's something that, best way I ever heard it put was, it was like a mouse getting inseminated by an elephant. It's like, there's something inside of me, and it's growing way bigger than me, and it's going to ruin me. So whatever you're going to get up out of this deal, it's going to be bigger than what you saw at the beginning. So that's what happens when the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of a person. And the Lord was just showing me on a way I could understand it, what that would actually look like. And my wife in that moment became the first demonstration of grace to me, because she did cry. She didn't hit me. But she cried, and then she forgave me. And that's never come up again. We've talked about through some things more on my side than for her. She just had an amazing capacity to just forgive me. And a year later, she gave her life to the Lord, and I guess the rest is history.
Praise the Lord. Excellent. Now stay with me 1 second. We're going to ask these folks to respond.
Yeah.
The reason I want you to hear that is a powerful, powerful picture of God's amazing grace. He reached down and got a boy, a young man named Todd, and he transformed him. The first thing Todd had to do is said, I got to go make this right with the lady I love. And the amazing grace was, she said, I forgive you and I love you. And now y'all been married 20 something years. Good answer. Anybody here need to know God really does love you in the midst of what you're going through? Anybody? Anybody here need just somebody to show you just a moment of compassion and say, I don't know exactly your valley, but I've been through a few. I can sure pray for you. Anybody here need to be forgiven? We spend all our time studying the Word of God. Too often we don't know the God of the Word. He's our Father. A good Father. We are whiners. Complainers. Annoying. But you know what? He never gave up on us.
No, sir.
I think to myself, what if that man hadn't said to you a simple phrase, Todd, God loves you. He didn't lay out, say, now let's start in Genesis, walk you through all God's done. Three words.
Yep.
It's like a hook in your heart you couldn't deny.
Yep.
look out there. Mm-hmm. There's somebody here today that sure needs to hear, thank you for telling me, Todd, God loves me. It's hard to always focus on that when you're in the middle of the battle. Somebody here needs to know, you mean he really can forgive you of everything? Can he?
Yes, sir.
There you have it. A satisfied servant, son of God. I don't know how to make it any plainer than he's made it. Now what are you going to do about it?
And I would say that would probably be the biggest thing in my heart right now is knowing that so many people that are living in the church and they know the word, they've been taught this, they've got it all in their head, but he said, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it is what all the issues of your life are flowing from. And if there's things going on in your life, I'm the first one to raise my hand right now because I'm in some struggles where all I got is my faith in God's goodness because I'm not seeing the evidence of it right now. There's some things that are disillusioning. And I don't know if anybody else has ever been there, but it's like, I know God's goodness. I know what his word says. I know what his promises are. But right now, it's not tangible to me. And so I would hope that us as a family can be at least honest enough with each other that says, you know, actually, I do need a brand new dose, a fresh wind of faith in God's goodness right now because I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling scared. And I don't want to feel that way because I'm one of God's sons. I shouldn't be that way. It's not bad, and I don't need to feel ashamed of feeling that way, but I am anxious. And I need the peace of God that's only going to come with me having the knowledge of his presence. And I would say that's if we're going to respond to something and just say, okay, we didn't come here and just hear something, we're going to go away because it's easy to forget, make a decision right now that, okay, I need to go back to being a son that's just being loved and taken care of and under the provision of a household and not just someone that's serving.
That's right.
And learning more about the Lord. So I'd say if you would like a fresh dose of that, then you can stand right now and we'll all pray together because we're going to go from glory to glory. We're not going to continue to hang out in the shadows of the things it is that we know in our head when at night we're laying awake at night because we can't stop being anxious.
God help us.
There is something new that's got to happen in the body of Christ where it's like we haven't yet arrived.
God help
us. And so when we come to church on Sunday, this should be a fresh time of us getting together as a family. It's like a family meal. You know, what you're getting right now isn't words, it's food. Jesus said it's not, you know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that's coming out of God's mouth. And as he's speaking over you, he's like, thank you for standing. You probably stood because the guy next to you stood, but I don't care because I think that this is so significant that if the world could see what it is that happens when Christians actually start acting like brothers and sisters and family and sons and daughters, then we become unstoppable.
We do.
So you can pray over your family because I can see some hungry people that are filled with the goodness of God. It's a weird thing.
Todd, thank you. Let's pray. What we've heard from my brother's mouth is truth. The word prodigal does not mean rebellious. Did you know that? The word prodigal means extravagant. The son that ran off wanted to live in extravagance. The father that stayed home was extravagant in his mercy. And the older brother stayed home longing for extravagance that he thought he didn't have when he already had all he needed. Todd Pierce is an extravagant young man who's experienced a mighty touch of the Almighty. But then he's not the only one in this room, is he? And so the question becomes very clear. God, you've given me a new name and a new disposition and a new nature. You've given me new life, a new purpose, a new direction. But the question is, have I been content to just serve you like a potentate? Or have I been a good son to my Heavenly Father? I'm in a room of champions of God. Many of you are so active in serving and doing, and so many have active Bible study experiences personally and with groups. You're involved in prayer. You're involved in disaster relief, abortion, pro-life clinics. You take care of those who would consider murdering an unborn child, and you talk them out of it. You're involved in helping with Arms Around Broken Arrow and benevolence. You're on mission trips. I'm not talking to people who are pagan. But how can we see the face of our Father and not want to draw nearer? How can we spend a moment in His presence remembering what He brought us from and not want to go back to all that we promised Him we would be? Father, would You deal with us this morning not as we deserve? Would You deal with us according to Your mercy? I believe all of us that are Christians would say, God, draw me near. I've let the cares of the world and the burdens of life and family pressures and financial pressures and struggles and jobs create a division between me and my Father. Please forgive me and draw me near. I believe there's some because of health issues. You say, I'm just so fretful. I have such a hard time believing God's going to see me through. Maybe it's time we just return to our first love and let Him take care of things. I believe there's some in the room who say, Brother Nick, you're asking me to draw near to a God I don't know. Can I tell you what a man told Todd Pierce? God loves you. He really does love you. And if you do not know Him, could I ask you this morning when others are stepping out to just come pray and recommit themselves to Christ, would you step out in that number and find one of our pastors? Pastor, if you're in the room, I'm not sure who the lady will be up here to talk to ladies. If you prefer a lady and are a lady, you can come to her. I'm going to ask you today, if you don't know Christ, or you know Him and say, I've never even followed through in baptism, I'm not obedient the first step, would you come and put your hand in the hand of a pastor and say, I'm ready? Maybe you need to join the church and you came today for that purpose, come put your hand in the hand of a pastor. To those who are my spiritual family and my brothers and sisters, can we just ask God today to draw us near? We lifted our hands a moment ago to say, God, do with me what You choose. Fill my hands with Your glory. Do that today, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. If you need to come today for prayer, you come. If you need to come today to make a commitment of Christ to Christ, you come. Whatever the decision, we're going to sing. Listen, it can't be clearer than you've heard it today. So it's not, I didn't understand. We understand. Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? If you need to come, the altar's open. We're going to sing.